He's gracious. He's good. He's kind. I'm going to tell you something. Loved one, listen to me. When you taste the water from the rock, you'll never be the same again. When you build your life on the rock, you'll never be the same again.
Why do you run from me?
Are you running from the love of God? God's love never fails. Welcome to Love Never Fails, the radio ministry of Calvary Chapel, Fort Worth, with Pastor Bill Quinn. Pastor Bill continues his series from the New Testament epistle of 1 Peter. Pastor has titled this next message, Having Been Justified. Let's join the service.
Amen. You know, 1 Peter is a great study in suffering and going through persecution and trials in this life. And that's exactly what the pilgrims or the sojourners, the scattered saints, if you will, the suffering saints, that's what they were enduring. And of course, the Neroian persecution was just about ready to overflow into all of the Jewish believers, the Gentile believers, especially in those five provinces of the Roman Empire there in modern Turkey, as we've already learned, it was going to happen. Of course, Nero goes crazy, burning Christians, crucifying them, all the horrible things that he did. Peter tells us, if we're going to really endure persecution, or suffering, the things that we go through in this life, he wants us to obey, remember 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 12, where it tells us that we are commanded, he says, I'm writing to encourage you, I'm coming alongside of you. I know what you're going through. He's a true pastor, okay? And he says, listen, I've written this letter, this short letter, to encourage you to stand firm in the grace of God. And that is the only way that you can face anything in this life is to stand in the unmerited, unmerited, again, favor of the divine living God. Amen? This morning, as we look about having been born again, is there anything greater than the new birth? No, think about it. I mean, you were changed instantly. You knew that something had happened unto you. Amen? And all through the years, if you're a baby Christian or if you're an older Christian, a very old Christian, through those times in your life, loved one, listen, you have tasted, you have experienced the incredible goodness of God in so many different ways. And when I look at this and I say, oh Lord, how wonderful it is to be born from above. But if you are born from above, or since you're born from above, then you live a certain way, don't you? You're growing in Christ-likeness every year of your life, every month of your life. You're growing more and more like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You're being transformed from glory to glory to glory by the power of the Holy Spirit. So Peter writes there, beginning in verse 22, and he tells us something. And he speaks now, watch this, in the past tense. He says, since you have purified your souls, and look how it happened, in obeying the truth or the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. And I'm going to ask you a question. Did you see what Peter just said? He said, you have purified. Loved one, listen, there is no one on earth that has the power to obtain personal purity within themselves. Amen? It's an impossibility. All you did to obtain that beautiful holiness and purity was you believed on the Lord Jesus Christ. And it all happened through the power of the Spirit or the power of another. The moment you were saved, you were set apart, you were washed in the precious blood of Jesus, your sins were forgiven. But what is the evidence here of a purified soul in this context? Did you notice what it was? It's the greatest thing in the world, and that is God's love in us. Amen? Look at what it says. It says sincere love. Sincere love. You know, there's a lot of different words in the Greek language for love. You know, we have the word eros. You know, we get our word erotic. That is a very selfish love. It's all centered on self. It's a take, if you will. And then this love here where it says love of the brethren, for example, that love there is phileo or Philadelphia. Remember, as the city, Philadelphia, the city of brotherly love. It means fondness. It means affection. It's a mutual affection that we have for one another because we are brothers and sisters. There's another word in the Greek. It's a sorge or sarge. I don't know exactly the pronunciation of it. But that's a family love. But this love right here has a specific character when we are to love the brethren, okay, Philadelphia. And that is, the character of that love is it's sincere. It's a sincere love, or literally, you could read it, it's an hypocritical love. It's not phony love. It's not pretend love or play acting. It's sincere love, meaning it's totally free from deceit. You know, there's an expression in Latin, comes from two words, sine seros. And it literally means, the first one, sine, means without. Seros means wax, so without wax. And it comes from those two Latin words, we get our word, our English word, sincere. Now, in New Testament times, the merchants, they would go out there, you know, and they would have their pottery or marble statues or whatever they were selling there on the streets and so forth. And let's say that, you know, when they heated up one of the statues, you know, you got the big nose or the ear, whatever, and you heat it up and they heated it too much and maybe, you know, it cracks. Well, then all of a sudden it's ruined. Amen. So let's say the ear falls off. So they pick up the ear, put it back on, they put some beeswax and they stick it up on there, kind of color it back in, and they sell it as real, or sine seros, without wax. Well, that's a lie, isn't it? So the honest merchants, what they would do, they would put signs out and they would use that term. This is without wax. This is the real deal. Well, that's what it's supposed to be with us. We are supposed to be real in our love because the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which has been given unto us. Amen? And so this love, man, we need that. We need it to be without wax. We don't need to ever be a bunch of phonies. We need to just be true. And you know what? I was noticing something, and it blessed me greatly before the worship time. Believe it or not, I love you. And do you know that I watch you? And I was so blessed to see how all of you were so loud, and you were talking to one another, and you were hugging one another. And do you know that blesses a pastor? That blesses me because you're loving one another. Amen? You're glad to see one another. But this love here, this love of the brethren, remember the Philadelphia, that fondness and affection. We have a whole lot of that today, really. But we don't have a whole lot of the agape. And that's what we need, amen? The agape, because that's why Peter commands us. Watch this. He uses love twice here. The love of the brethren, and then he uses the word, one was Philadelphia, now is agape. He says, love one another fervently, and the way that you do that, it says, with a pure heart. So that agape of God, the love of God, that unconditional, uncaused love, God's love, it doesn't go up or down. It's God is love. Amen? And so that's a love that seeks the highest good for other people, whether they deserve it or not. I think I told you a story a few months ago about that horrible fire that happened, and the guy was rushing home, a Christian man, rushing home to see the damage, to see if his home had burned to the ground like a couple of the other homes. And when he got there, he saw that his home was burnt to the ground, but his next-door neighbor's wasn't. And he went up to him and says, I am so thankful that your home is still there. Well, he didn't say one word about his home. He said, I'm thankful that your home didn't burn to the ground. Is that love? See, that's love, seeking the highest good for them. But this agape, loved one, listen, it's not a feeling, and that's where we get in trouble. You know, love your enemies, okay? Well, we do love our enemies, but it's not an emotion of love, amen? We do so out of obedience. You know, you can't command a feeling. Did you know that? But we're commanded here to love one another fervently and so forth. But so we're not commanded to feel a certain way, but we are commanded in this life as a Christian, since we're born again, to act a certain way in a very uncertain world. But God is not uncertain. Amen? Now, we're commanded, it says, look at it, to love, look at the object of our love, one another, and then here's how we are to do it. It says fervently. That word means intensely or passionately, with supreme effort. Literally, it means that you strain everything in your being, if you will, to love each other, and you do so, it says, with a pure heart. What is a pure heart? A pure heart is a new heart because you're born from above. Amen? And that's what that is. So a pure heart does something. It never seeks to take advantage of anyone. It just seeks to love other people. Again, it's not based on, you know, whether they deserve it or whether they don't deserve it. You just love because God's love is in you. Peter, again, he says in 1 Peter 4:8, he says this, above all things, above everything else, he says, have fervent love for one another, for love will cover a multitude of sins, meaning that we don't talk about it. Once God has cleansed something, we leave it alone. Amen? When the prodigal son came home, did the prodigal father accuse him of all the things he had done, wasted all of the money? Did he? No, he loved him. See, and he covered his sin, his dirt. He was been in the pig, put the robe on him, put the sandals on him, put the ring on his hand. He says, no, you're my son. He cleansed him with that garment of righteousness. Amen? Now, this love that we have, this agape, it's a supernatural love. It's not a natural love, okay? And this is such a wonderful thing to know. The Bible tells us in Galatians 5:22, it says that the fruit of the Spirit, meaning the Holy Spirit, is love. What a wonderful thing to know. Now, but that's not your love, but that love resides in you, doesn't it? That's the Holy Spirit. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit. Again, Romans 5:5. This hope doesn't disappoint because the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit that's been given unto us. So this kind of love, when obeyed, do you know that it fulfills the entire law of God? When we love one another as ourselves, it fulfills all of the law. So when the Holy Spirit really has his way in your life, then love will be manifested, loved one, in your walk. There in the upper room, you know, one of the vision statements of why we exist here at the church is John 13:34-35. When Jesus, there in the upper room, after he'd washed the disciples' feet, he came unto them and he said, a new commandment, brand new, a new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another. Well, they knew to love one another because Leviticus 19:18 was from the law. But the new part was that you are to love one another as I have loved you, love ye one another. Amen? In other words, to love to the same degree. Did you know that's a command from Jesus? He says, don't treat love as a noun because love is action. Amen? Christianity is love in action. So that love there, that agape, it is a verb. And he doesn't even tell us, he don't talk about love. Oh, I love everybody. Well, no, I know you don't. Don't talk about love, but practice that love. Amen? Did you notice that Jesus didn't talk about love? He practiced love, didn't he? He proved his own love. Romans 5:8, that while we were yet sinners, God demonstrated his own love or proved his own love to us. Amen? So that love was proved. And then he says, and by this, in John 13:34-35, he says, by this, all will know. That is a huge word, isn't it? By this, Jesus said, by you loving one another, by this, all will know, he says, that you are my disciples. And he says, if you have love one for another. You know, just because you have a bumper sticker on your car, does that mean anything? You know, I was behind a car not long ago, and it, Jesus loves you, or honk if you love Jesus. I didn't honk, but I said, praise the Lord. And then somebody pulled over in front of this guy, and well, you know what he did? Never mind. But I was going, ooh, you better take that sticker off your car, sir. You know what I mean? So, you know, you can dance in the aisles. Does that mean you love Jesus? Does church membership, does that say that you love Jesus? No. I've been water baptized. Well, that's wonderful. Praise God. It's a command. Well, I believe in the virgin birth. Well, so does the devil, you know? I mean, so Jesus said, by this, all will know that you are my disciples if you have love one for another. You know, Christians, we can all quote scripture. We can all memorize scripture. And we can say, boy, I believe the Bible. I believe it's true. There's no other name to be saved. His name is Jesus. There's no other way to heaven but Jesus. And we believe all those things. But that's not the final test in God's eyes. The final test, the final proof that we really are born again. Born again. And that is that you love one another as Christ loved you. Amen. to that same degree. Listen, hours before Jesus died, hours before his death, he told us, he said, listen, everybody's going to know that you belong to me. Everybody that you meet, they're going to know it. You're my disciples. How? Not by what you say, but what they see you do. There's nothing more powerful than Christians loving one another. Amen? We're all different. Look at us. I mean, we're different nationalities. We're from different countries, different races, but we are all one. We are one family. Amen? And we're all born again. We're washed in the same blood, filled with the same spirit. Heaven is going to be our home. If you don't get along with each other now, you will up there. Amen? The Bible tells us in 1 John 4:7, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, meaning God is love. He's the source of love. And everyone, listen carefully, and everyone who loves God, no, everyone who loves the agape, others, loves, is born of God. That's evidence of the new birth, is born of God and knows God. He who does not love, listen carefully now, he who does not love does not know God, for God is love. Meaning you don't have a relationship. If, you know, just, I don't love anybody, I'm a Christian, with no, you got a problem. The love of God has been shed abroad in your heart again. Amen? There's a problem there. 1 John 3:14, we know that we have passed from death to life, and listen to how we know it, because we love the brethren. We love one another. That brethren is sister too, okay? And he who does not love his brother, if you don't love your brother, listen to what John the Apostle says, abides in death. Death would mean that you would be outside the realm of the life of God. That's why loving one another is the greatest thing that the church can do. I mean, really loving one another. Not just Philadelphia love, but the agape. Amen? And that's so important. Now, when were we enabled to love the brethren and love one another just as Jesus loves us? Well, look at the verse there in verse 23. Here's when it happened. Having been, past tense, having been born again, and look how, not of corruptible seed. See, the corruptible seed, that was my first birth. It came from my mom and my dad. We're an Adam, amen? And so if you don't believe that this old body's corrupted, just look at it. You know what I mean? Oh, listen, I started working out again, you know? My hips, right now, my hips, never mind. I fell out of bed. I didn't, you know. But then I quoted my scripture to myself. The outer man is perishing, but the inner man is being renewed day by day. Amen? It's going to fall apart. It's okay. It's going to, one day, my body will betray me. But when it does, I'm gone. I've gone home forever and ever. Amen? So he says, having been born again, not of corruptible seed, not that first birth, but look how we've been born again. It says, but incorruptible, something that can never be ruined. That's our new birth. And how did it happen? Through the word of God, which lives, which is alive, which is sharper than any two-edged sword, which lives and abides for how long? Forever. Did you know in chapter 1, we have three incorruptible things? First of all, we have an incorruptible inheritance. We have an incorruptible redemption. And here we have, through the word of God, we're born again through the incorruptible word of God. Born again, new life. You know what a Christian really is? 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone in the world, anyone be in Christ Jesus, new creation, never existed before, brand new, you're a new creation, old things have passed away, meaning severed from your life. You're no longer in Adam. You're no longer in darkness. Amen? Severed from you. Satan is no longer your master. Sin is no longer your master. You're in Christ, and all that Christ is now yours. You're co-heirs with Christ. Old things have passed away, and all things have become brand new. Man, when you are born from above, you have a new beginning. You have a new start. Do you remember the moment you were born again? Can you go back and remember that moment? I've said it so many times from the pulpit here, but I'll never forget that the hippie on the beach, there I was, and we prayed. It was early in the morning. The sun was coming up out of Jack's Beach over the ocean. And after I prayed with him, and I opened my eyes, I knew everything had changed. I didn't know why. I didn't understand it. I didn't know anything about the Bible. I didn't know anything about Jesus. But I knew that moment. I knew that I changed. And I know this is going to sound weird, but even this color of the sky looked like brand new to me. You know, the ocean, all of it, it looked like everything. It just was, I saw it differently. See, when you are born from above, you're not only given a new start, but a new beginning, a new life, and a new home, heaven. Amen? Oh, what a walk. What a wonder that is. How did it happen? Look at verse 23 again. Through the word of God, which lives and abides forever, 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 his truth. You know, have you ever taken time to just really meditate on the Psalms and pray the Psalms? When I came to that scripture in verse 23, for some reason, Psalm 100 came to my mind. I want to read it to you. These are commands, by the way. It says, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Do you serve him with gladness? Well, I have to be in the nursery today. I have to drive my brand new car to church, and it's raining. Or do you serve the Lord with gladness? Man, that's the only way to serve the Lord. Amen? It says, serve the Lord with gladness. It says, oh, know the Lord. Be intimate with him. It says, come before his presence with singing. He is who has made us, not ourselves. We're his people, the sheep of his pasture. Are you feeding in his pasture? Where are you eating at? I hope it's in his pasture. Amen? I pray you're feeding on his faithfulness. It says, enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Be thankful to him. Bless his name. But I want you to listen to the reason. For the Lord is good. He's good. It says, his mercy is everlasting, meaning his eternal love is everlasting. And here it comes. And his truth, the word of God, endures for all generations, and we're a generation. Amen? Oh, what a wonderful word. Look at verse 24 about that. He says, because, and he's going to quote Isaiah chapter 40, verses 6 through 8. He says, because all flesh, all humanity, every person on earth, he says, is as grass, and all the glory of man, all that they can achieve, all they can do, all the glory of man, as the flower of the grass. Well, the grass withers, the flower falls away. But, look at the contrast now, but the word of the Lord endures forever, forever, forever. Now, this is the word which by which the gospel was preached to you. Loved one, listen. Do you know life is short? No, really. I know when you're young, you're 18, 19, 16, 20, 30, you know, whatever, you don't think life is short. But then all of a sudden, you wonder, you have children, and the next thing you know, they're grown, and you wonder how they grow up so quick, and thank God they're gone. No. But you follow me. And then all of a sudden, you're in a house that's empty, and you go through this emotion you've never had. Amen? And then all of a sudden, you go, well, gosh, I'm 60, or I'm 70, or how did I get to be 80 so quick? Life is so short, just like the grass and the flower. We spring up, we bloom, look good for a while, and then we just fall over. Amen? No, it's true. We're just a vapor. We're only here for a little while. No wonder Moses said, teach us to number. Lord, teach me to number my days that I may apply my heart to wisdom. Amen? Well, we need to do that. So he says here, the contrast, he says, but you know, all those things, they sprout up and they're gone, but the word of God, it endures forever. You know, Jesus said in Matthew 24:35, he said, heaven and earth will pass away. All the stars, one day the sun will be gone. One day the moon will be gone. Heaven and earth, everything that we are familiar with will be gone. It will pass away. But my words, Jesus said, will never pass away.
Once again, we're out of time, but Pastor Bill will be back tomorrow to finish out the week with the conclusion to having been justified. And we do hope you'll tune in once again. My name is Brian Whitaker. On behalf of Pastor Bill, thank you for listening today. And until next time, may the Lord bless you. If you'd like more information regarding Calvary Chapel Fort Worth, Love Never Fails International, or the Love Never Fails radio broadcast, please visit our website at ccfortworth.org or download the CCFW app. Pastor Bill would also like to personally invite you to join us for any of our three services here at Calvary Chapel Fort Worth. For service times and directions, please visit ccfortworth.org or call our toll-free number, 866-729-1999. That's 866-729-1999. If you're unable to worship with us in person, our live streaming allows you to join us virtually via the CCFW app, Apple TV, Facebook, YouTube, or our Roku channel. So, until our next broadcast, may we encourage you with these words. Love bears, believes, hopes, and endures all things. Love never fails.